Blog Talk Radio.
Scratch the record. I don't have a sound effect for that shit. But tonight, I think we're going to relive the saying, shit just got real. You know, it's not going to be all bad, folks. I mean, come on, really. Do I ramble that much? I mean, come on, folks. Really. Do I...
Look in my eyes, what do you see? The cost of something I would be. I know your anger, I know your dreams.
All right, folks, tonight, before we get the festivities started, it's kind of a new tradition to remain consistent, right? It's not a New Year's resolution, it's just one of the things that I like on my show is to be consistent. And Monkeys in the Truck, if you could please help me out with this, I love this theme, so I'll discuss this group right about... Enjoying your time because we finally got the heat fix in the house. How are you doing? Oh, all right. So, Smash 5 basically featured a slew of things happening. The opening featured AJ Styles, Shane McMahon, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn. Considering the fact that Shane McMahon obviously is being told that they're going in the direction of let's have you and Daniel combat each other idea-wise, blah, 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 blah. But the very first match, folks, after the altercation between Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Shane McMahon, AJ Styles, there's a match made by Shane. It was a handicap match, a one-on-three handicap match, actually two-on-three. Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens were to face AJ Styles, Shinsuke Nakamura, and Randy Orton. If you kind of catch the drift, there's kind of a riff going around. There's no cat out of the bag. Oh my gosh, we're so surprised. But there's been reports, it's not been confirmed, that Daniel Bryan has turned down a major contract extension throughout WWE. I mean, I don't blame the man, but like I said, it's not been confirmed yet, so... we'll just go with whatever the flow, wherever the flow is taking us. So, Becky Lynch faced off with Ruby Riott from Riott Squad. It was a very back and forth match. Ruby Riott's a good competitor. However, she came up short. Becky Lynch clamped on the disarmer. Tap, tap, tap. Becky Lynch wins the match. The Bludgeon Brothers kind of just had their way with the Ascension. The United States title championship tournament is still going on. So you had Mojo Rawley facing off with his former tag team partner, Zack Ryder. And if I'm not mistaken, Zack Ryder lost to Mojo Rawley. So now it's Mojo Rawley versus Bobby Roode. It was on the next qualifying round. There you have it, folks. Even though Mojo's wardrobe was not what most of you say, you're saying that he wasn't dressed as he'll look good. He'll make the decision what people wear as long as they fit the description, right? Breezango somehow defeated Rusev Day. And that's kind of an upset, really. It wasn't a surprise because Shane managed to come out, make a match. When Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn tried to get out of the match by getting themselves counted out or disqualified, Shane made the stipulation thereafter to make this match a no disqualification, no countout match. I wonder how well that's going to ploy with what Daniel Bryan had in mind at the Royal Rumble. So maybe Shane McMahon's turning heel, because eventually all the McMahons turn kind of crazy, right? My overall thought of SmackDown Live was I hope they're going to show clips of mixed match. I was kind of excited to see kind of the different clips that you can see them on Facebook, or not live, but you can see some of the different pairings on the mixed match page on Facebook. For those of you wanting to watch that, it's not on the network, but I believe they will eventually put it on there. They might not. You can play, you can drop down menu, search mixed tag match challenge, hit the play button. It looks like it's on top of the TV. You can play that. You can play it on your Apple TV. You can play it on your regular phone. I'll be watching next week with a friend afterwards. Thank God my heat's back on. This feels really good. And the tech, you guys are laughing because you know it's funny. The heat came off of the house, all right? So, Carmella looks like she's going to be teaming up with Big E. Both rosters, both sides of the rosters are paired up with different people. So, Sasha Banks, Finn Balor, Bayley, Elias Sampson, Braun Strowman, Alexa Bliss, Asuka, and The Miz, Alicia Fox and Goldust, Rusev and Lana, Natty and Shinsuke Nakamura, Natalya, you got Naomi and Jimmy Uso, Charlotte and Bobby Roode. So this is going to be, I guess, the WWE's version of intergender tag matches. So just taking what the indies do and exploiting it. Can you blame them? It makes money, people to watch like myself. So there's that. It wasn't a speed rush through, but you know what? It's okay. For those of you who missed out on SmackDown Live, you can catch it again on Hulu, or you can get the WWE Network and wait for a month, which I don't think is kind of logical, but for those of you who want to sign up for a Hulu account, it's $7.99 or $9.99 per month, same as a WWE Network subscription. For those of you wanting to get a WWE Network subscription, you can do so by going to the network on WWE.com. You can definitely sign yourself up for some awesomeness. And speaking of awesomeness, you know that your first month is free if you've never signed up for a WWE Network. But also you can get a three-month prescription paying $24.97 on a WWE subscription or WWE card, prepaid card. You can pick up one of these cards at your local Dollar General's, Walmart, 7-Elevens, Best Buy's, or you can pick it up from the shop on WWE.com. You can use that shop card for anything, but my God, man, the amount of knowledge you get from getting the network, that's 3 months plus a month. So you get Fastlane, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, and so much more on the WWE Network. Speaking of networks, folks, Monster Factory has a network. It's $7.99 to check the actual price. You can go to www.monsterfactory.org for more information regarding Danny Cage's or the Monster Factory Super Camp. It is April 20th and 21st. It will be held at the world famous Monster Factory in Paulsboro, New Jersey. For further instructions, go visit the website or you can visit the Facebook page for Monster Factory /facebook.com. It is an amazing opportunity, ladies and gentlemen. You will get to learn from some brilliant minds, even if you are not a wrestler. Sign up as a manager, podcast host, announcer, so you can broaden your horizons and learn so much more than just what you've already learned or think you know. If you want to attend a wrestling school, you can do so by going to monsterfactory.org. You can text Danny Cage or call him, but don't call him at an inopportune time. Just make sure that you sign up for tuition. The tuition information shall be on the website, or Danny can go over it with you over the phone. So he's a very, very businessman. Just make it to the point, get to the point, and tell him what your intentions are as you go to his wrestling school. Speaking of wrestling schools, You know there's a lot throughout the nation. If you are near one of your wrestling schools in the Midwest, you can go to Brave for Black in Iowa or National Wrestling League, TPC, in North Kansas City, Missouri. For those of you wishing to adhere or sign to a wrestling school, do so and do so now. For more information, look at the website at nwlleague.com. Set up an appointment so you can become a future wrestler, referee, manager, what have you. All right? So, if you want to kick cancer straight in the ass or right in the ass, go to SusanGComan.org. Make sure you donate as much as you can to the auctions to help fund the research to stop cancer in its tracks and not get the hell off. Help your friend, loved one who is suffering through their hard time. Make sure that they get all their getting worth. Also, speaking of kicking ass, why don't you go to MakeAWish.org? Make a child who is terminally ill or going through what they're going through. MakeAWish.com is your place and destination to be. Type in the name of celebrity, athlete, comedian, or inspirational figure that your child wishes to seek out. And make sure you make the wish very specific, okay, peoples? We don't want your child crying any more than they have to, because MakeAWish.com makes a child feel a lot more secure. Also, speaking of cancer, go to ConnorsCure.com. Make sure to donate to fund help to fund the research to fight the good fight against pediatric cancer. If you haven't seen Connor's story, you can go to WWE.com exclusives, click on Connor's Cure, and it'll show you this the inspiring story from Connor from WrestleMania 30. Such an inspiration. Make sure you get out and you do what you can. You don't have to donate all your money, although that'd be very commendable, but make sure that you donate and fund the research for pediatric cancer. For those of you wanting to go to a wrestling seminar, like I said, there are plenty, and there's more than Monster Factory. There's Joey Mercury, there's Heath Miller. And for more information, contact Brutal Bob Evans. If you're not a friend of his, message him on Facebook Messenger. It can't hurt to try, folks. So that is that. That does it for the advertisements. I didn't really have a fun introduction to the advertisements, because today on the agenda for good old B-Train is going to be discussing with you all honesty in wrestling and my perception of wrestling as a whole. I've discussed with you one other time about what my perception of the business is, and honestly, I feel like there's plenty to discuss with you all. And first of all, we're going to cover WWE SmackDown Live and my assessment of it. Normally, I would go on and on about what bothers me about it, but I really can't find any negative point for SmackDown Live. I did forget one match, Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin. They will be facing the Usos at the Royal Rumble for the Tag Team Championship, which is kind of funny because the Bar on Monday Night Raw side is facing off as tag team champions. They will be facing, the Shield. What is the difference between Raw and SmackDown Live? Can anybody refer or say anything? Yep, I knew that was going to open the floodgates. Wrestle_radio is where you can message me or BTrain05000. One question from Haley from Rikers, New York. Cool. Who do I like better, the SmackDown Live women's roster or the Raw women's roster? I'm going to have to say Raw on that one, because they have Asuka and because the dynamic of Nia Jax, and they have Alicia Fox, who's, you know, one of the locker room leaders. She was the team captain for Survivor Series. The only veritable difference, I will say this, I'm not a big fan of Riot Squad, and I'm not a big fan of Absolution. We all know, because we heard what I thought about them and the group concept in itself. I'm not so much saying that these women don't have skill. It's just a few of them, four of them, are not ready. They look not ready, in my opinion. Mandy Rose, Liv Morgan. I'm not picking on you guys. I just feel that the fans don't even know who the hell you were, because when you have people that are on an NXT program, you're like, oh, okay, cool. Because I just picked up my NXT program right now, and I am looking at Liv Morgan. The only reason I know you is because you've had, I guess you were involved in the Mae Young Classic. I mean, it was an opportunity for women to get well-known. But if I'm going to touch on SmackDown Live, which is what I'm supposed to touch on because it's post-SmackDown Live, and now NXT is going to be TV. So what is the difference between both rosters? What is the overall objective for me to be reviewing SmackDown Live? Is it to be completely negative, completely narcissistic about who needs improvement? No, I mean, I enjoyed the story. It was fine. I do miss Dolph Ziggler as a great competitor. To answer your question, folks, I am reading because the questions that you guys are asking, when do you think Dolph Ziggler will be back? I can't tell you that. I'm not, you know, a part of creative, but I will tell you, if I were, I'd be doing anything and everything in my power just to focus on the show at hand. That's the answer to that question would be, okay? Overall, you know, the objective is to put on a good show and entertain, right? If the objective was, okay, I don't think the crowd's popping, you can't just literally in mid-motion say, okay, well, here's some last-minute changes. SmackDown Live as a whole, I give it an A because it's a there's a captivating story between Shane, Daniel Bryan, Kevin Owens, and Sami Zayn. There could be a lot of things that happen after the Royal Rumble. Could I sense a dissension in the ranks between Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn? Because he kind of just gave it away by saying, we're going to be co-champions, kind of how Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens used to run the show, right? And fans used to get really irritated about that, so maybe, just speculation. Are they going with the angle of Kevin Owens or, you know, Sami Zayn winning the championship and Kevin Owens basically stabbing Sami in the back again and Sami turns babyface? With the transitions now that SmackDown Live is doing, the fan actually thinks. So my overall assessment on last night's show, not to sound long-winded, but to clarify, there is some form of hope because on Monday Night Raw, they're really just pushing a lot of things that don't need to be pushed, but they have no choice. So gonna touch on Raw just a tidbit. Raw, they don't have the luxury of digging into their back pocket and saying, okay, well, this guy would fit here, this guy, let's put him here. Michael Hayes says it best. It's, you know, it's like executing plays that you have concocted or made, and it's the presentation and how you present it to them. It's up to your players to execute the plays that you've made up or drawn up for them. Not to bring sports into this discussion again, but I mean, for real, that's kind of why Raw flunks, because, okay, you're bringing back Cena, he's a draw. So you got to look at it as fans are going to boo, they're going to cheer. Where's your biggest audience? Kids. They're the ones that still don't know what you're talking about when you say heel or babyface, unless their significant others are teaching them that bullshit, which I'm going to get to in a second. If you know terminologies as a child, I guess there is a future for you in the business, or if you say good guy, bad guy, and translate it into heel and babyface when you turn 10, 12 years, 10 to, let's say, 34, 35 years old, I got to tell you, I'm just going to say this, folks. There are times when a heel and a baby face can, you know, commingle. I'm just going to answer that question right now. Seeing as you guys don't want to wait. You saw Alexa Bliss, and you were the one who decided to take that creepy picture of her and put it online. That is why you probably did not get her autograph, because she's probably uncomfortable as all hell, number one. And two, when people just want to be left alone, can you not tell on their face by the expression of what they're telling you? Thank you. Anyways, as I was saying, folks, Raw doesn't have the luxury to have superstars that are in their back pocket and say, okay, let's run off this talent. SmackDown Live, even when they had Alexa Bliss, who helped elevate the women's division, who do they have that'll help do that? Charlotte Flair? Yeah, kind of, I guess, because she's really, you know, portraying that she's a Generation excerpt from Ric Flair. But to be honest with you, the difference between Raw and SmackDown Live is as follows. Aside from the time differential, like entertainment value-wise, whose name can create the most cash flow into the pockets of the big wigs in WWE? They already got money, but they know who generates the cash flow based on merch numbers, based on who people discuss. Whether you love him, you hate him, John Cena is coming back. And honestly, if you're one of those people that, like me, I'm not very fond of his work in-ring, but you know what? You learn to tolerate people, right? Just like people learn to tolerate my annoying habits of being overly critical on certain aspects of things, not all. There's a difference between being honest and being critical. If you're critical of something all the time, oh, you didn't do this right, oh, you didn't do that right, that's being the annoying type of critical. So to answer your question, why am I always seem like I'm a crab and I'm annoyed with things? Because honesty is the best policy, and I'll get to that in a minute, folks. So John Cena's a draw, The Undertaker's a draw. The 25th edition of Monday Night Raw is coming up, and it's going to be in, well, of course, my neck of the woods. It's going to be at Barclays, and it's going to be at the Manhattan Center. Manhattan Center, it's funny, they're having that Monday Night Raw continuation, if you will, SmackDown Live. It's so weird because I was 6 years old when they did the first Raw. I know I'm going off topic here, but seeing as how you guys are going all over the place like me, I might as well too. Now I gotta take a deep breath. Just 1 second, folks. For those of you who want to know the veritable difference between SmackDown Live and Monday Night Raw, one is 3 hours. One has all the talent in the world. The other one has all the talent in the world. So, well, if you exclude, nah, can't do that. One show is 2 hours long, so the talent really doesn't have to stretch much or do anything out of the ordinary, right? But they put on a show that's 2 hours. 2 hours is plenty for a crowd. NXT is even better, right? An hour long. So what is the purpose of SmackDown Live? What is their purpose? Is it to be known as the B show? Because it's Survivor Series. Yeah, they did get shown up even after they fired the first shot via Shane McMahon. But what I'm getting at is overall, SmackDown Live has always been known as the show that comes on either at the wrong time or, oh, they shouldn't really schedule it on Friday. So they learned their lesson and didn't really get much rating. But it's always been the show that has its most underappreciated show, if you will. How is it underappreciated? SmackDown Live is known as the show that basically could never measure up to Monday Night Raw. You wanted honesty in wrestling? SmackDown Live is very entertaining from A to Z. So the area points, you know, whether it be the Curtin lyrics coming out like Brizongo, or the Mid-Carters like Ascension, or the fact that Mojo Rawley wears the wrong colors as a heel. That's just my personal take. Red and yellow is Ray Hulk Hogan. You know, before the big inflated ego of Hollywood Hogan came about in WCW. So, yes, they've got interesting characters. Carmella, no one would have thought she won Money in the Bank. So, is this the roster of underdogs? Jinder Mahal, least likely to win the WWE Championship. That was voted on like years and years ago, before 3MB broke up, before he was even anything. So, also, they acquired AJ Styles, or they've had AJ Styles for the longest time. What does this have anything to do with my assessment on SmackDown Live? It has a lot. The New Day, who provides quirky humor and very hard-hitting promos, unless they're paired up with the Usos, who also can do hard-hitting promos and hit the truth, right? On the women's side of things, you've got Charlotte Flair, Ruby Riott, Naomi, Becky Lynch. You've got, I wouldn't qualify Sarah Logan or Liv Morgan at all. They look like knockoffs of the Bratz dolls. They're not terrible workers. They just, to me, I didn't really think that it was the right time to pull them up, but I guess you have no choice. Who are the women you got to work with and elevate them as women? Apparently, I guess Absolution and Riot Squad are doing that, and it's giving flavor to the feel of WWE. I'm not really a big fan of either group, and I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to make this entirely about the Riot Squad. I'm not going to bury them entirely based off my opinion, but Ruby Riott, I'm sorry, is a better worker than Paige. Just being honest with you, she doesn't show any form of ring rust. And also, aside from the women's division, the championships on SmackDown Live, the Usos, AJ Styles, and the vacated United States Championship makes it very interesting now that they have a tournament going on. So, I mean, it's SmackDown Live as a whole, I give that group an A. Raw, that all depends on what you classify as grade-wise as a show. They try, so I guess I'm going to be honest with you. Could I do a better job of booking? Give me a pen, pad, and paper. It's a bold, brash statement, but honestly, if we're booking a show, not just the booking, it's the placement. Can anybody do a better job by substituting Jason Jordan in Dean Ambrose's place? It's whatever the company decides, so not going to really touch base with that one. Other than I've got a full hour to parlay my feelings about a certain area that I like to call my perception of the business, if you will. Wow, this is kind of like watching a countdown clock for something you actually want to do. Trust me, I have one at work, but it's called my mental clock. The point is, my perception of wrestling as a whole, whether it be fan, worker, workers, I just said wrestling, my perception of wrestling as a whole. So if you want open honesty, you're going to get it, because it's going to cover not only just podcasting, it's going to cover my perception of who I've met, spoke with, had guests on here. Nah, I'm not going to relay how I personally felt entirely. I'm just going to, as I said, parlay my feelings. So if you will, just sit back, enjoy the ride, keep hands and feet all inside, and if you get offended, get the fuck off the show. I don't care. All right, folks, my turn.
The cost of something I would be.
So, there's a lot to cover in the hour that I have to cover in it. And what I can tell you is, when I started out, I was off and on with this business. I was extremely young, and I was looking for an avenue. I was just looking for escape, man, because I was a college kid who just was, you know, looking for answers, like, who am I? What's my identity? Where do I, what purpose do I have in life, and where am I going with this? Some people, they already know where they want to be. They already know where they're going to be and where they're going to end up. Lucky them, right? They're what you call go-getters, the people who don't just sit on their ass and procrastinate, sit on their computer chairs and type up show ideas and say, hey, let's go get it today. Because all I'm going to tell you is professional wrestling isn't for the faint at heart. If you're not liked by a group, it's very hard to, you know, make things better, right? It was up and down, my very first experience with wrestling as a whole. And overall, what I learned was if you're not meant to be in the group that you're in, find another group. Don't let things hold you back. Say how you feel and be like, all right, this is what I want. This is what I want to get out of this. So, in other words, if you're bothered by something, don't hold it in, but present it to the source that you're feeling this. Now, granted, some people say, well, you didn't present a source. You just went off the hinges. You went off the rails. Kind of did, no pun intended, but from a mental standpoint, if you're going to a place in which is not making you happy, then get out, make the situation better, fix it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts, well, I could have, and they, pointing the finger doesn't help either, folks. So in pro wrestling, if you have an issue with somebody, and instead of, you know, wanting to get rid of that person, like a man or like men, you go to Facebook to do it. All I'm going to tell you is from the experience that I had with that, that's like Eric Bischoff firing Stone Cold Steve Austin. I'm not Stone Cold, but I will tell you, there's a lot of things that I've learned from being involved with pro wrestling. Find your niche. Find out, you know, if wrestling is good for you. There's a lot of things that go along with wrestling. Traveling, making shirts, making sure that you are presenting your merchandise. I'm happy, you know, when I'm around friend of mine, and I help sell his merch. You know, it's so cool because you get to sell, like, people. They're like, well, that's like working retail. I couldn't do that. You know what? If I was to point out every flaw, that would not be enjoyable to sit and actually listen to the show, wouldn't it not? I mean, what I gather from this is, yeah, I am a manager who was put out to pasture because actually, I wouldn't say put out to pasture. I would say just hung up the suit, if you will. There's a difference, I guess, between wrestlers and managers. And that is when I notice in the business, pay grade wise, is if you earn the respect of a worker, if you actually put forth the effort, they will respect you, but they still be, we, us managers are looked at as the humor aspect of things, or the guy you beat the fuck out of, because that's just how the food chain works in wrestling. You never ever see a manager beat the fuck out of a wrestler. That just doesn't make sense. So I've learned that aspect. I've also learned, you know, from managers. JT Davidson said it best on the show when he was talking about, I have a manager's school in Ohio, and basically, you know, what I tell my guys is that you've got to prove your worth to a promoter, because you're looked at as the guy who just hopped on a ride with his friend and said, hey, I can manage him because they're friends. But you got to be able to put into perspective, okay, I'm not putting myself over, I'm putting the wrestler over. Some managers don't really comprehend that. And I'm not going to bore you to tears with that, but I'm going to cover a lot of bases here because I've got a full hour to do it. Some managers think, okay, I've got to put myself over because I'll be forgotten and I love the spotlight. To those managers who do that, I'm not going to point out how bad that is, but you know who you are. If you are the one that sits on his ass and literally just trying to make themselves known, and you don't even, no one knows who you are except for your peers, it's like what Taz said. There are those, you know, those times when you're in your circle of wrestling friends and you don't really think about it. You just go all the way through and be like, walk down the street and you're walking like there's no tomorrow. That honestly, he said, it took me aback when people didn't recognize who I was. And it was a big city, I believe it was in New York. You know, our neck of the woods, they see a lot of celebrities. Unless you like a well-known celebrity, they're not going to care about some Joe Schmo wrestler, right? So in other words, my message to the people who just put themselves over, okay, kudos to you, because as a wrestler, you're supposed to try and get yourself, promote yourself, get your merch out there. But managers who do it, I'm going to be honest with you. If you are trying to put yourself over, no, that doesn't make you any better, because our job is to enhance the worker, in the words of Sylvester Fox. Same thing goes for a podcast. I've seen a lot of people, you know, pop up with these podcasts, right? Would I be considered one of them? I guess. And I speak not on regular with Brutal Bob Evans about certain things, but I want to tell him, I'm learning, Uncle Bob. I'm learning to take a step back instead of, you know, just spew all opinion looking into facts. So you have plenty of podcasts that are popping up, and some of them just voiced opinion only, and they don't really consider the source, or have a source for that matter, or their source is very sketchy and unreliable. Again, that's not opinion based, this is the truth. I've listened to several different podcasts, such as The Art of Podcasting, Colt Vanna. I listened to a podcast called Power of Perception, Heel Mark's podcast, Kenny Boland's podcast, and no, that's not the title. God, and by the way, God rest her soul. Very sorry for your loss, Mr. Boland. But anyways, as I was saying, the different podcasts you hear that actually make sense, that actually go through what they're saying, like Lance Storm's or Jim Cornette's, you learn different things as you listen. You learn what pops, you learn what doesn't. Then if you have a partnership in podcasting, it has to be an equal partnership, and that's what I've learned. If the person that's with you does not produce or is very inconsistent, then what I'm going to tell you is, speaking from experience of inconsistencies in life, I'm not the only one that suffered through that. Because I realize there comes a point when you just get frustrated with it. And what happened with myself and another person, I'm not going to, you know, negate the name. What happened with me and Mr. Jake was there was a lack of communication and there was a lack of productivity on the websites, you know, not the website, but social media. Social media has to be a number one platform for you to your statement of who you are as a podcast or as a team. I felt that we, you know, we're doing so great for a few months, and then kerplunk, there goes the podcast. So there's a lot of issues that can be resolved as far as me not being happy with it. It's sad when the other person's clueless. I'm just going to put this out there. If you go out of your way to spread rumors and to say things that are untrue of me, then I'm going to go out of my way to say goodbye, block you, and just delete you out of my life. It's sad that we're living in that kind of world, but it's the truth. If something makes you unhappy, why stick with it? Why force yourself? That kind of thinking can be adapted to in any setting, because the way I figure it is, we all have a choice. We can be productive, we can move forward in our life, we can actually make a difference. What I'm telling you is, it gets annoying. I've had really cool people that I've met, like Brandon Osborne, Dusty Gold, Ronnie Nicole, Flip Gordon from Ring of Honor. And if you want proof of the interview, you can look on Wrestle Radio's archives. Even though I sounded like a bumbling buffoon interviewing him, which, you know, he'll probably get a kick out of. But, you know what I'm saying? It's annoying. I've met good people. I've met bad people. That's just life. It's not just wrestling, okay? And I've figured out, what am I doing to serve the business? Am I bitching too much? Am I not making myself clear enough? Because honestly, it sounds like a fucking promo every single week that I do this show. But in all honesty, you want my opinion on wrestling. There's some of you, I'm not going to name names, whether you're crappy, whether you're good, whether you're in between in wrestling, I really think some of you believe that your shit does not stink and you can act like a jackass. You don't owe me anything but a good show. So what am I referring to? I told you this. I was going to continue on the discussion point from last night's show on Wrestle Radio. And that is, whenever you have involvement in pro wrestling and you treat a fan or a fellow worker like shit, it will come back to bite you square in the ass. I've been in locker rooms before where I wasn't feeling welcomed. How can I say locker rooms? Because there's a difference between being welcomed and not being welcomed. Or feeling welcomed, my bad. Is there a breaking point? Did I ever feel that I could have exited the situation that I had going on from 2014 to part beginning of 2016? Back then, I guess it was different. Now that group has a credible trainer, and I'm not, like I said, I don't care what they do. To be honest with you, I reconnected with a good, well, shouldn't say good friend of mine. And I told him in the conversation that the reason why I began becoming paranoid was because I was angry. I was hurt and I was frustrated. How do you solve all that hurt, frustration, and anger in one sitting? You talk to people who know the inside out of this business like nobody's business. And I'm going to mention your name, sir, not to offend you, not to just kiss ass, but thank you, Brutal Bob, for pointing out on different days on social media, on Facebook, on Twitter. This is how you still remain a servant of professional wrestling. Okay? I reached out to a gentleman who, you know, like I said, even if he doesn't want me to mention his name, Rocco, you crazy bastard. I told you there's reasons why I didn't want to talk to the people that I just had issues with, and that is because I'm very personal. If I get backed into a corner, I'm not going to want to talk to you. But Rocco and I spoke over the holidays, and let me tell you, it was good to hear his voice and talk with him. Of course, it was really late, but it's still good to talk. It's always good to talk to somebody you used to ride, nah, I wouldn't say ride and die with, but ride with, man. This is the same cat that I took the time out, you know, when we were going to that wrestling center to give rides to and say, hey, you know, let's enjoy, let's have a good time. So I guess there wasn't all negative points. I'm realizing that now. And for those who decided to unfriend me, I don't care. Honestly, you're not paying my bills. You're not making me happy. You're just there. You're just, it's so funny because some of these cats actually believe, you know, I'm still mad or I'm going to create drama. No, because any time that I open my mouth and you guys listen, I guess, you know, I'm gaining listens, right? So what I'm trying to say is whenever I've gone, whatever I've gone through in the world of pro wrestling, I've taken it with a grain of salt because every experience that I've had is a learning experience. What not to do. I'll give you an example of that since you just asked. I was invited by a friend of mine who was also a worker at the time. Should have just stayed outside instead of going into the locker room. But that's that. Okay? There was no room for managers. I kind of got spoiled. Being booked in Larned, Kansas against Trevor Murdoch. I had no idea what I was doing, but I just hopped on the microphone and gave the worst Borat accent you could ever fucking hear. And it was my mindset, oh, I can get booked off of him. Cool. That's not how it works in pro wrestling, let me tell you. I also learned, you know, in order for me to move forward, I got to focus on my own shit because I've got financial stuff that I got to take care of this month. And really, at this point, I'm just going to sit here and say this. You can either dwell in the past or you can take your big fat foot and move it forward. And no offense, none of our feet look fat. Okay, you get the point. I'm moving forward because if I keep digging into my past, that's only too easy for me to vent about how I feel. Okay? So I'm smiling because I moved on to greater conflicts, which is the end of a business at the end of an era, if you want to call it an era. My partnership as a podcast host with Jake, who has his own show on Mondays. Let me just say this, man. You reached out to me on social media. You still wonder if we're boys. I'm not boys with somebody that talks behind my back. I'm not boys with somebody who makes a fool of himself on a live feed. Just enjoy things, man. I'm not ragging on you. I'm just telling you how I feel. And here's the fun part. You know what you're doing, but for some weird, unbeknownst reason to you, you act as if you didn't get wrong. Here's what I'm going to say. I'm not going to spend my entire podcast talking about this incident or the incidents that occurred, but I will point out to you that it's kind of funny how you can feel a vibe in a room when you waltz in to NWL, and you just the feeling of, oh boy, I'm not welcome here, comes straight over you, and you say to yourself, oh boy. And that feeling is gone now because it's 2018, right? I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying the entire NWL locker room. I'm just saying some of the feeling of, okay, maybe I should just be quiet and just keep looking accordingly. Love Major Bazin, love Marty Bell, love, you know, Strider, all of them. I respect them because they work hard. So why should I feel ill at ease? Gee, I don't know, because I don't know who's saying shit behind my back. And should I care? No, because like I said, it's 2018. But you wonder why I feel paranoid. It's because I didn't have a lot of seven relationships or friendships until I met you, dude. And it's just, it's grinding on my nerve, okay? It is grinding on my last nerve, talking about, okay, this person did me wrong, that person did me wrong. On to another subject. Wrestlers I've met, you know, I've kept my circle small. Because why? Because of past experience, one, but also I want to enjoy wrestling. I don't want to have the same experiences that I had. I mean, the up and down roller coaster experience that I had from 2014 to 2016 makes me sound like I've been in the business 20 years. But let me inform you on something. From a mental perspective, I met some really cool peoples, okay, that on a personal level, could I be buddy-buddy with them and have a drink with? Sure. Could they turn right around and stab me in the back after said drink? Probably. Do I give a fuck? No. What I'm trying to say is, I've learned just by looking at you, just by watching your mannerisms, how some of you is really badass, and then some of you, not so much. Like I said, I'm not saying you're crappy, but from what I've seen on social media from some of you, when you relay how crazed a fan is, that tends to make you also look like a douche canoe. And you're not, your name is not in big bright lights in WWE, but if your name is synonymous in the indies, okay, well, that could clarify it as one thing. You either work for MCW? No. Do you work for CZW? No. Do you work for Wrestling Revolver? Maybe. I mean, what I'm saying is, folks, if wrestlers are putting pictures of text messages between themselves and a fan, keep in mind, you are the one that gave out your phone number. You're the one that decided I should let this person into my life. And it's funny because some of you got that thought process of, okay, I will be open to all ears and so I can tell a story. It's cooler when you tell a story at a seminar or when you're just talking to a fan through his podcast, right? Like when I ask, what is the craziest thing you've ever experienced? By happenstance, you know, I've had some stories, you know, that were told to me that a guy, his shirt smelled like pee, blah, 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 blah. And the guy was too bad short of being really rank. I'm not looking for a specific answer, but it'd be more appropriated if you did it that way instead of put the fan in your business on social media, because it makes you look like a pretentious jackass by sharing this. Hey, I'm the guy that makes a fan feel inferior. Yikes. I mean, I get it if he lives in his basement and he's crazed, or she's crazed and she wants to do nasty things, or he wants to do nasty things. Honestly, guys, I don't care, so that's why I've unfollowed some of you. That's why I've deleted some of you. There's a common trend, and you don't care, yet here you are. I eventually want to get this contract opportunity. There's a difference between wanting and doing. There's a difference between trying and doing. You can either be the person to sit there, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Put it into effect. Let the plan go all the way through. Then, and only then, take picture proof, because some of you, I wrote a 2-page handwritten letter to Vince McMahon. I'm not saying about wrestlers. I'm talking about the person that I fired. And by the way, I'm going to touch base to the subject again. It must really sting that a co-host fired the owner of the show. But from a personal level, like I told you, I'm not going to brag on this issue forever, but I'm going to touch base with it. When somebody does something and it's monumental to how this person works and operates, be nice just to relay the information saying that you didn't give me the show. Relinquish is not giving. It's more or less you were forced because of your inconsistencies, sir. So on a Facebook Live feed, you decided to test your pretty little waters of being controversial, right? Just to give your show potential more listeners. I'm pretty sure the only reason they're going to do it is to spite me. I don't give a fuck. Because here's the problem. Eventually the truth gets found out. You missed how many shows, and here I am going off the hinges again. So in other words, when you make a promise to somebody, you don't say things like, we're going to be part of the WrestleMania, you know, answering squad at WrestleCon. Oh, boy. So did my research, looked at WrestleCon, and saw, this is how much it is to get a table there. Don't have the funds for that. So how in the blue as hell are we going to be part of the WrestleMania squad? Well, I'll tell you how. My wallet, my pocketbook, and my ability to pay for an airfare, and also the ability to push things forward. So here's what I'm going to tell you, Jake. Good luck in 2018. For you to sit there and say, we're boys, I'm going to just put this on the back burner and say, if you're boys with somebody, you don't talk shit on them because you are jealous of the attention that I was bringing to the show. So therefore, Wrestle Radio became mine, and I intend to focus on anything and everything that revolves around sports and professional wrestling. Here on Off the Rails and Censored, you're going to get brutal honesty about how I feel on certain subjects. And one of them that I'm going to focus on, since it seems to be on my mind, is how someone can deny what happened to them as far as, you know, getting let go, getting fired. Come on, man. I've been fired 3 different times in my lifetime. I don't like admitting it, but when you're doing a job application, you best be honest. In certain instances, because I've learned that from experience. You think it's easy admitting some personal stuff? It's not. But coming forward about and being open and honest about it, people have more respect for you, rather than posting significant amount of lies and saying, oh yeah, that was me, I was the one who acquired this guest. Be a team player, man. Because if you don't learn that, that's cute, you know. You coming up and saying, we still boys. No, the fuck we're not. Do you understand why? Because as soon as I turned my back, the metaphorical knives went right into it. And this sounds like a freaking soap opera, right? Some of you joke around and say, well, they sound like a married couple to me. In pro wrestling, you have guys that do it for the money and they succeed. Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, anyone? Scott Steiner, anyone? Although, you know, there's different aspects of wrestling too. Like, how do you recover? How do you make sure that you make yourselves known? No one will know who the hell you are unless you promote. No one will know who you are. So, in all honesty, bro, the time, ladies and gents, that it takes me to come up with a subject and discuss it, it's not that hard. What's going on currently in wrestling? What's, you know, captivating audiences across the world? Kenny Omega, Chris Jericho, brilliant match in New Japan, by the way. Cody Rhodes, Will Ospreay, brilliant match, by the way, at WK12 in Japan, in Tokyo. Do I have to cover every single facet of the match and say, okay, this is what fascinated me, this is what fascinated most people? I'm not everyone, and I hate that category. And if I'm going to follow a trend, you know, it was one point when I lived in Kansas City where everyone and their mother, shocker, they cheer the Chiefs. Why? Because it's the hometown. I'm not going to dabble on social media like I used to unless something happens with my team. And I know it's for real and I know it's not fake. I'm going to post it. I'm going to be proud of it. Jumping the gun because you're excited that you got a good old B-Train, man, that's great. To an extent, though, until you start lying and it becomes obvious. Being a part of a major-scale company, better known as WWE, it's one thing to criticize them because they get criticisms every day. They're like, yeah, you're just like the other fans that tell us this stuff about our company. We're broadcast journalists. It is in our best interest to put forward the best reports we can give you guys, not, you know, centering around, okay, I have this problem with so-and-so, and this is my personal drama. It gets old. It gets old doing that shit. And you know what? I'm glad that I was given the opportunity, you know, the platform to say how I really felt about a group of people, and after a while, it kind of got old. They're like, oh, geez, what's he bitching about this time? To the point where I guess I've created a reputation where drama fucking happens with me? Motherfuckers, let me tell you something. I'm glad that I'm out of Kansas City. Well, Kansas City, my bad. In the regards of, it wasn't doing great for me, so I didn't tuck my head between my legs and look at my tail. No, I made a better situation for myself. Now I'm able to go to the events that I want to go to. Now I'm able this year to qualify for, you know, a travel card. I'm not going to say which kind of travel card, but a travel card, if you will. Not a passport. No. A traveling credit card. So what I'm going to explain to you is ever since I moved, things have gotten better. When you move, when you're involved in pro wrestling, kind of does help you that if you live in the East Coast, there's a plethora of wrestling schools. There's a plethora of wrestling for me to report about. I've got Ring of Honor, CZW, House of Glory. When I go to Kansas City to visit, and I'm not sorry that I called it Kansas City. So for those of you messaging me now about how I feel about your city, it's the truth, you know. Everyone's got shady people. Everyone's got people you don't like. That's every city. I'm just saying I changed my life and my situation by moving different cities, okay? So moving is a way for you to improve your situation. When you're involved in a toxic situation or a toxic situation with people who are toxic around you, how do you cleanse yourself from all that mess? How do you clean yourself mentally? Go out, you know, you put your headphones on, you write a few lyrics here and there. It does make a lot of sense, because here's what I'm going to tell you. Throughout this crazy random rambling crap, I was spending money to which I could have saved. But, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda. This is 2018. Am I doing much better financially? I cannot answer that question to you. Like I said, I'm not going to relay my personal shit unless the situation calls for it when it comes to pro wrestling. And right now, the current situation that I'm kind of angry at is when someone is in denial about what they did to you, is it going to change anything? No, because the more mad you get, the more satisfaction they get on the other end. I figured out that the hard way. Or when they're in denial, they won't deny it until something traumatic happens to you, like you die, or best yet, you annoy them to the point, God, man, you sound like a whiny bitch. So what I'm going to tell you is, you want honesty about how I feel about some, you know, some aspects of the pro wrestling world? From a podcasting point of view, be careful who you align yourself with. In the wrestling world, this is not a friendship business. This is a business. You're not there to make friends. And if you do, great. You know, you're a very personable person. You work hard. You get where you want to get, and you work your ass off to get it. You get hurt every day. You feel sore, but you get up and you go to the next city and you do it again. Some mentalities are, I got to make money, so I'll do whatever it takes to make that money. I've seen it. Trust me, I have been witness to it. Those people who wonder, okay, what the fuck is he talking about? In wrestling, it depends on where you work. You don't make much money. That $40 that the promoter gives you, or the $80, you got to put real work into it. Even if you have like a five-star match, or if you have a really shitty match, it all boils down to how well you're serving the promoter. If you show them that you can put the ring together and that you can be a referee even though you're not a referee, little things go a long way. Just ask Uncle Bob. Look, he was working the mid-card show for, I believe it was Shotgun Saturday Night, and also he was working back in the mid-90s when Stone Cold and The Rock was around. But how did he get there? You'd have to ask the man himself, because I can only tell you so much what this man has done, not just wrestling-wise, but advice-giving, being a mentor, being a shoulder to cry on, also, you know, being a stern advice-giver, telling you, hey, this isn't how things are. You need to shape up. You need to take a step back, reflect, and really think before you speak. And thank you, Bob, because part of it is you got to learn to forgive those who really are not all big fans of yours. And interpretations be left up to the, you know, however you want to interpret them. So, or let me rephrase that. What he says is left up to interpretation, how you will apply it. So how do I handle my situation with Jake? How do I handle my situation with being fired over Facebook? How did I handle making the move back to Brooklyn? I'll tell you, and that is, you don't really have a choice sometimes. And other times you do have a choice. In this instance, I did have a choice, and I'm enjoying my time as a spectator, as somebody who's not working, as a part of the business that I guess I'm now attached to it again, because being a podcast host and having somewhat of knowledge, not all, some knowledge of how the business works and operates. There's different ways, and there's different promotions, obviously. It's pretty much what I've learned is don't take everything to heart, because certain people will just be jerks. They'll be jerk-offs. A way you talk to people, that's how they perceive you. So if you're able to change their perception of you, great, because it's possible. It's not impossible. I feel like sometimes people can abandon their way of thinking because I just want to say they abandon their way of thinking because everyone else around them is not being positive about it. So if an individual is getting told you can't, and that constantly ebbs and flows up into their environment, they're not going to want to stay. That's kind of how I felt, dude. To be honest with you, and I know I shouldn't really be talking about this group of people, but it's how I felt at the time with KCXW. I was not feeling welcomed at all. And most of the guys are told me they really don't like you. Well, I'm glad one kid had the honesty to be, you know, put forward with me. Or be up front with me. Because that meant the world to me, even though I kind of lost touch with him. You know, in all honesty, it felt good to hear honesty. It felt good to hear that, hey, you know, there's a lot of things that you need to work on. There's a lot of things that need to be touched up on. It's bad when you're getting the vibe that there's two-faced people in the organization you're with. But like I said, I'm done. It wasn't meant to be. And now I move forward. I've gone to pretty much all the events that I've wanted to go to. I'm not giving up entirely. But when I have money in the bank, you best believe my ass is going out to travel, not just for wrestling, but for recreational purposes. Because my perception is you can enjoy the business as much as you can, but there's also a downside to it. If you have the choice, you are the person that makes your choices. Not, okay, I just made my decision, so I'm just going to sit back and see what happens. Sometimes it works out, and sometimes it actually will. So, I mean, sometimes it will, sometimes it won't. Let me rephrase that. There's a bound. There's a lot of things that most people will not understand about wrestling, and that is, okay, I work my ass off, blah, 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 and I look really good, I feel really good, the promoters love me, I'm just going to keep going with it. I know a few people like that, and you know what? More power to them, because they're making wavelengths as workers. Then there's people that really you want to hit them over the head with a 2x4 because they think they don't have to go get advice, they don't have to listen at seminars or go to seminars because this is just a side hobby to them. Well, you know, like I said, they're not paying my bills, they're not giving me food that I like, so why even give a fuck about them? Then there are the people that like to promise you the sun, moon, and stars and say, hey, we're going to go do this, we're going to do that, we're going to be a part of a really big show. Poof! It was just a dream. Or in the words of Biggie, it was all a dream. Because you got to be careful who you align yourself, and it doesn't just refer, it's not just in reference to podcast hosts or friend who has a podcast or person who's a worker or a manager or a referee. You, the individual, has to be responsible for your happiness in pro wrestling. You'll hear different variations of what I just said at seminars. You'll also hear interesting road stories or life stories. Like, for example, Sammy Callahan told a story about how he would live off of green beans and bread. And that was before NXT. That was before Wrestling Revolver. You know, he sacrificed girlfriends. He sacrificed time with family for pro wrestling. And you know something? It's amazing how people think wrestlers are just guys and gals that we see on the tube, or managers are guys and gals that we just see on the tube. No, they're more than that. They are the workers who work their ass off to give you guys a good show. So, despite me feeling angry at Jake, I found an avenue in which I had to do shows on my own. I'm still doing shows on my own. I'm looking for another co-host who will be reliable and shares the same passion with me about professional wrestling, who doesn't, you know, sound like they're just into WWE. Not trying to douse that man, but come on. There's got to be someone that shares the same or different interest that'd be willing to be a co-host. So, yeah, I can do this on my own. Don't worry about it. But it's much easier when two is a crowd, three is company, four is kind of pushing it. So I've learned that if you do this and you say you're self-made, that's great. I'm doing this all on my own, and it feels wonderful. But at the same token, you get burned out not having help. So how do you do that? There's an open application on Russell Radio. I'm going to post the link soon. If you would like to apply, you know, please, by all means, do not just do research on Wikipedia, because I can tell if you do so. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but, I mean, if you like to be a co-host, this job does pay. So, for the love of Pete, please pay attention. There is a background check. The background check is not a drug screen. It's not how many houses you moved or households you moved. Background check is going to basically, since you're asking that question, my friend, the background check is going to be how much knowledge do you have of the wrestling business. You don't have to be a worker. I prefer you be, because it's a lot, or have touch base with the business. So in other words, how much knowledge do you have, and can you provide a 3-paragraph essay, if you will? And it has to be 3 to 5 sentences. It does not have to be 5 sentences. All other regards and the fact you will get paid $100 to $150 every other week. And if you have PayPal, I could transfer the money from my account to yours. Then again, that's not safe, so I'd prefer to send you a check if you are out of state. And know that I do actually have a paying job to actually supply this. It is a service. You are getting paid. It's a, you know, form of extra money. So you can message me on Facebook about being the co-host on Wrestle Radio, and also I'm looking for a separate co-host or the same to co-host. Actually, nah, leave off the rails uncensored to me. But Wrestle Radio, there's an open audition, folks. If you can go past, I don't know when Big Shan's going to be able to come back. So until then, please message good old B-Train. All right, folks, I'm almost at the tail end of the show. I've given an open audition call. I have told you what I feel about certain professional wrestlers, and I'm not naming names because I've spent most of my time in the Midwest and East Coast and also the Southwest region. There are plenty of big, big people out there. I am sorry. I'm going to touch base with you all eventually. I'm going to message you about possibly being a guest on the show. So don't be surprised if you get a randomized message saying, hey, would you like to be a guest on our show? Yes, continue the stuff that's outside of advertising. Wrestling can be interpreted as a lot of different things. One, it can be an enjoyable, entertaining, I got fans kind of thing. It just, here's what I'm going to tell you. To the fans who believe in using terminology in front of me, I don't care. Cool to conversate, but at the same time, some of you have the IQ of 12, and some of you are very intelligent human beings, and you know when to leave someone alone. So, fans, I love you. Australia, Japan, Tokyo, Canada. Oh, I mean, I even got fans in India. That's pretty cool. I mean, apparently one percentile that listens to the show. But here's the thing. I love fans. There's some of you that are, like I said, there's good fans, there's bad fans. There's bad workers, there's cool workers. There's in-between workers, there's workers I really don't give a fuck about. And then there's workers you say, how the hell did he get this gig in the first place? I'll touch base on that on the next time Wrestle Radio appears. Or off the rails, my bad. Fans, there's some of you who really need to tone down the stupidity. And that is, when there's a show going on, right, and you can chant whatever, cheer whatever, you guys have the free will to do that. What I am talking about is, when you are talking to a former worker, or a worker who's still in the business, when you say shit like, oh, I didn't really enjoy your match because you botched on that, unless you have gone through actual physical training to be in the ring, you say, I can tell where you messed up. Okay, point it out, cool, do whatever. That's your right as a fan. But unless you have actually done the move yourself, or attempted to do it, or been involved in a wrestling match, and I'm not talking about your backyards, please refrain from saying stupid shit like that. And preferably, if you say, I know the business just as good as anyone, you're in a fucking bunny outfit. Why? And I keep referencing the fan from St. Louis who said, I know the business just as good as anyone. Really? Okay, so they're fans, you wouldn't know they weren't workers because they use terminologies. Then when you get past the terminologies, you can tell. You can tell from a mile away where they get their fandom from. They say that I'm not a mark, I'm not a smark, because those terminologies are kind of degrading. And when some workers use it, it kind of gets unnerving. Well, yeah, the marks will really go through. The marks are the one that pay for the ticket to see you, for you to give us an entertaining show. Just saying. Also, for the fans who think that it's okay to run up to them in the park or the parking lot, like, yo, it's not something that I would be bragging about. I mean, I saw this in Brooklyn, and I'm just saying, not just Brooklyn, but a lot of the places that I would go, and they had signings, fans would say stuff because they really, really like this, like Finn Balor, for example. I'm pretty sure Finn gets a kick out of it. I'm pretty sure that certain other people, you know, on a setting level, it's, oh, I can't believe that they come up to me at the airport. That's the price you pay of being a worker, a famous wrestler. Who am I referring to? Sasha Banks? who, you know, I agree with her on some points, but I also understand, you know, the level of responsibility you have as a worker. You're not going to please every fan, and you got to be careful on who you sign, because the Alexa Bliss photo that was posted in a group, I think some of you need help. And I think some of you just did it as a joke. Still, you guys need help. There's some of you who I really, as fans, cool, you guys are awesome. And then some of you just want to put in a padded room because it's creepy posting pictures of people that are feeling uncomfortable with you and they don't have their makeup on, or they're just, you know, trying to enjoy dinner and you take a picture of them eating soup. Like Odoreal doing that shit. So you want to learn what it's like from my perspective of wrestling. I just told you all in one setting. There's good, there's bad, there's ugly, there's, well, wrestling. I just explained the fan side of what I think of fans, and that is I love them. I think it's great to have fans, otherwise I wouldn't have a show. Otherwise wrestling wouldn't have a show. They just have empty arena matches like Mankind and The Rock. I also gave you perspective and insight as to what I thought about the whole Jake situation with him and I parting ways. I'm not someone's boy if I feel that someone's been talking behind my back. I'm just going to throw that out there. I am not someone's chew toy where you can just throw me and just expect to get me back as soon as you go after me. There's no rhyme or reason for it, okay? I don't have any expectations of fans. All I'm going to tell you is, if one of you decides to get the bright idea to say something dumb, then I will exploit it, because it is off the rails uncensored, and the same thing goes for Wrestle Radio. You guys can dish out as much punishment as you can on the internet, but when it comes to a podcast host who formerly worked in pro wrestling, even though it may have been minuscule promotion, there's still an inevitable difference. So, folks, if you'd like to listen to more of Wrestle Radio or Off the Rails and Censor, you can do so on Tuesday and Wednesdays, Tuesday at 5 Eastern, 4 Central. Times will vary for Off the Rails Uncensored. Toodles, bitches. I gotta eat. Have a nice day, night, whatever. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.